This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, April 18th, 2021. Undercover Boss, The Road to Emmaus.
Good morning, CCC. Good morning there at home, everybody. Good morning. So good to be with everybody today. We got a lot of people in here this morning. That's awesome. Awesome. So welcome to week two of a three-part series entitled Undercover Boss. You know, how many have seen that show? Yeah, if you haven't, it's a show where a owner or chief executive of a large corporation comes in, kind of at a ground level to work amongst the employees just to see what's really going on with the company, get some feedback. Oftentimes, if that company's in contact with some employees who are really outstanding, they get some incredible prizes at the end of the show, just like we get incredible prizes. So anyway, In this series, we're looking at three post-resurrection Jesus encounters in which the people who were familiar with Jesus, they knew who he was, they'd seen him, they'd been around him, but they do not recognize him immediately. Last week, we looked at Mary Magdalene encountering the risen Jesus in the garden there by the empty tomb. This morning, we're going to be looking at a Jesus encounter with a couple guys, like we saw there just a moment ago, on the road to Emmaus.
Good morning, Connection Church. It is so wonderful to see all of you, some who feel comfortable coming back. It's so awesome to be together. Those of you who are joining us online, hey, Murray, hey, Teddy, and Debbie, and Tammy, and Marianne, and Lynn and Donna and Scotty and lots and Pat and lots of people also on YouTube and Facebook. If you're watching us online, give us a shout out so you know that so that we know that you're with us
that
today.
That would be a typed in shout out, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us, please? Almighty God, thank you so much for today. I am so excited to be together in worship, and I am really excited to share this message that you've given us about the road to Emmaus. And some of us have heard this story for years. I pray that you will open our eyes, share something new with us, or just help us remember things that we may have put aside. We thank you, Lord, for today and all days, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody agreed and said,
Amen.
We're going to start it right off. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And that's where this whole undercover boss theme comes in.
That same evening, or is that same day, I'm sorry, is Easter. And the two of Jesus' followers are heading home to this town called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's roughly half the distance from here to Smyrna, roughly. They're talking about the recent events when Jesus comes in and starts walking along with them. Not only do they not recognize him, we're told they are kept from recognizing him.
So that's kind of interesting when you kind of zero in and think they were kept from recognizing him, huh? Well, it sounds like God is intervening here to keep them from knowing that it's him that they're talking to, at least for the moment. Now, we're not told if God uses natural or supernatural means to pull this off. Perhaps the sun was in their eyes because they were headed west, and it's late in the day. You know how that is. You know, you're kind of squinting. You're not sure what you're seeing.
Have their shades on, maybe.
Yeah. It doesn't say that they were crying. We talked about that last week with Mary Magdalene. She was crying so hard, perhaps the tears covered, so she didn't recognize Jesus immediately. Whatever the case, they didn't recognize Jesus. And from what the writer Luke shares with us, they are being kept from recognizing him at this point.
All right, so we're in Luke 24, and now we're at verse 17, New International Version, 17 to 24. He, that would be Jesus, asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Well, they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and all our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
Jesus was not the only one that was crucified this particular week. That was a way that they executed people. And we know that there are two others who were also executed that same time. But he was the one that created the buzz. He was the one, at least according to Cleopas, he got their attention. Now, Cleopas wonders if this apparent stranger who has joined them on the road is the only one who doesn't know what's going on, is the only one who has no idea what happened. There's a New Testament professor, his name is Fred Craddock, and he writes Bible commentaries and writes for the Interpretation series. And he says that Cleopas, in his walk with this stranger, gives the stranger a brief summary of the gospel. The gospel means good news of Jesus, beginning with Jesus's ministry and ending with the gruesome events of what happened, sharing everything except for the resurrection. Isn't that interesting? He got all the way to that point and then he stopped. I guess he wasn't aware that somebody had actually seen the risen Christ at this point. And so they're walking along and they're downcast. They basically had given up hope. And as they share in Scripture, we read, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Redeem, let's talk about that. Redeem means make right, make payment for, exchange. He was the one that was going to bring Israel back to what it should have been, back to who she was. And then they also said, we had hoped. Boy, that sounds depressing, right? We had hoped. That's like English writer, past perfect tense, had hoped. Hope was there, but now it was gone. That's what that sounds like. It was finished. It was over. It was done. And like everyone else, these two are taking the death and the burial at face value, and that's that, over and done.
Picking up at verse 25 through 27, he, Jesus, said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them, basically did an Old Testament tour de force here, explained to them what was said in all Scripture concerning himself, all the Old Testament prophecies. He shares that with them. Yeah. As Craddock points out in this commentary, Jesus basically here reprimands these two guys on the road to Emmaus. Can you hear that conversation? You guys are kind of foolish. So slow to believe what the prophets had been telling you for years. The Messiah had to suffer to enter his glory. It must have been quite a discussion, don't you think? Probably pretty one-sided.
So picking it up at verse 28, Luke 24, verse 28 to 32. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scriptures to us?"
This passage here reveals to us the purpose of the boss being undercover in the first place. See, Jesus didn't force himself on these two travelers, did he? In fact, he appeared to be traveling on past to their stopping point until they strongly urged him to stay with them. It was when he was at table with them and broke the bread and gave thanks that their eyes were opened. That's when they recognized they had been who they'd been talking to. That's when they recognized that Jesus was right there with them in that sacramental meal, in the breaking of the bread, that Jesus was revealed to them.
So how true is that for us as well? How often do we not recognize when Jesus is right there in our midst, like right with us, trying to get our attention, talking to us in various ways, but not forcing himself on us? Jesus never forces himself on us. It's like the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes. And perhaps this is how it was for these men from Emmaus. It's the breaking of the bread at Holy Communion where their eyes were open. For me, the Holy Communion moment over my years of becoming a Christian and living that Christian, I always believed in Jesus. I was raised that way. But there's times when, like, my eyes were open more and more, and I could see more clearly. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, my sinfulness. And it's like, wow, I just want to live right. But it's in that Holy Communion moment where I've experienced incredible healing, like deep in my heart, over loss. I've experienced forgiveness for things that I've done or things that have been done to me. I've experienced incredible moments of mercy where I know that I don't deserve God's love, but God loves me anyway, and grace, that love that is just there to receive. It's a gift that I can't do anything about. The communion moment really has, over the years, been a pivotal point. And I think it's because maybe I'm open during those times. How about reading scripture? I was reading the book of Mark yesterday for Disciple Bible Study. Hey, we've got 41 people enrolled in that. It's really going, like, really exciting. Anyway, I was reading the book of Mark. I've read Mark a lot of times. I was like, wow, I didn't pick that up before. The living word of God. You know, he's right there in my midst, and I didn't even realize it. Studying the word together, when you talk to people about the word of God or about what's going on in your heart, Jesus kind of opens our eyes. The Holy Spirit, wow, serving at church, it is such a blessing to be able to do that together. Prayer, to lift each other up in prayer, to have corporate prayer, to have individual vertical prayer. You know, God shows us things, opens our eyes during pain, really a lot, during challenge, also during joy and celebration. Our eyes are open. And when we recognize Jesus, here's the best part. He's been there all along. He didn't just show up at that moment. He's been there all along.
So Jesus reveals himself, they recognize him, and then he disappears. Wow, can you imagine that? I'm sure they're like, well, where'd he go? And then they realize that their hearts had been burning within. Maybe you've had that feeling before, burning heart, as he shared the scriptures with them on the road as they were heading toward Emmaus. How often is that the case with us? It's in the looking back after the fact that we kind of put the pieces together like a puzzle and we're able in retrospect to clearly see what we couldn't see in the moment. You know what I'm saying here? You know, they say hindsight's 20/20, and you know, it's pretty close to true a lot of times, isn't it? Yeah.
So in preparation for this message, we were reading what Fred Craddock offers in this Bible commentary called Interpretation. And he points out that there are three perspectives from which we can view an event in our lives. Okay, say something big happens. But here's three perspectives. The first is the rehearsal for the event. The next is the event itself. And then the next part is remembrance of the event. So he shares that in the rehearsal or the preparation, it's often difficult for us ahead of time to understand like the magnitude of what's going to happen. I know that's true, like preparation for marriage. It's like prepare. But that moment when we get married is different than the preparation. So that's the second part, the event itself. And wow, okay, so you're in the midst of it and our eyes are open a little bit more. But it's actually the remembrance part. Not necessarily remembering, oh my gosh, there were a lot of people at the wedding, this was really cool. But remembering that God was present and that we said some vows to each other that actually have to carry us through our entire life. So it's in the remembrance that we have this hindsight, this 2020 vision of life to come, then, now, and to come. And so it's really interesting that they're walking along the road and they're not sure what's going on. They sit at the table with them. Okay, this is kind of big, but it's in remembrance. Our heart was strangely warmed. Oh my goodness, what a big deal that was.
You know, writing this, and I was thinking about this whole idea of this remembrance and the event itself, or I'm sorry, the preparation and the event itself and the remembrance. It took me back to like 25 years ago, and really wild occurrence. I was selling insurance at the time. I was sitting at the home of some people had insurance with me, and we were reviewing their policies, and we got talking about church. Well, they went to this little church just down the road, Concord United Methodist Church, and they were telling me what a great little church it was, how beautiful it was. I said, it's part of a three-point charge, they call it. In the Methodist Church, a pastor can serve many churches. In this particular case, one pastor served three churches. It was part of three. And I said, you know, I've been to the other two, because Carrie, before she went in ministry, was a lay speaker, and she filled in at the other two churches, but I'd never been to this one. They said, you ought to stop in there. Beautiful painted tin. It's old. You know, it's 100 years old. The front door is always open. Stop in. Well, a few weeks later, you know, I was in the area, so I stopped in. I still remember exactly where I was sitting. It would be in this church. It would be right back there, last row on the aisle there. And while I was sitting there, I had like this electric current going down my spine. I was like, wow, that's weird. It must have been the Holy Spirit. And then I went up to the balcony. You know, those little country churches have balconies. And I'm up in the balcony. And in my mind's eye, I see this Christmas Eve service. Wow. It was a lot like the ones we had when I was a kid at St. Andrew's. Yeah, in fact, it was just about exactly like that, because that's all I knew for Christmas Eve services, except for the church we went to currently. But from a kid, that's when, and I had this in my mind's eye. I went, wow, that's wild. And I didn't really realize how important that was until about a year later. I'm sitting in that exact same seat, waiting for the staff parish relations team of that church to talk to me about being their pastor and the pastor of the other two as well. That's pretty wild, isn't it? What was really wild was 6 months later, as we're celebrating a Christmas Eve service in that church. They'd never had a Christmas Eve service before, by the way. They had shared it with the other ones at the other church. We had our first Christmas Eve service, and it was pretty much exactly like the vision I'd had in my mind's eye a year and a half before. A year and a half before, isn't that wild? It's in the remembrance that we're able to realize just how important those life events are. It's in the remembrance that we're able to recognize how the undercover boss, Jesus, was right there in our midst, and we didn't even know it.
And that's what your call to ministry looked like.
That's a piece of it, big piece of it.
Big piece of it. And then that's when I went like, oh my goodness. But anyway, I was already,
that's a story for another day.
I was already there, but yeah, two of us? It'd be interesting. God had it planned all along. Picking it up at verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
And so after Jesus reveals himself to these two from Emmaus, they return at once to Jerusalem to share what they've seen and heard. In his commentary, Craddock points out three ways that this action was significant. First, the news was just too good to keep themselves. You've been there. You've had news. You just had to share with somebody, right? And that's what was with these guys. They moved from sadness and despair to the joy of knowing that Jesus is risen. And they have to share it with others. Yeah, they have to. Yep. In this case, with other believers. True for us too. When we, when the risen Christ reveals himself to us, it's just too good to keep to ourselves. And that's because our life has been changed. Can I get an amen? Amen. At home? Good. Okay. Amen. It's been changed. Our life has new meaning. We've experienced God in God's love in radical ways, and that we just have to share with other people. We just have to.
Now, sometimes, as in the case of these two from Emmaus, it's important for us to share what God is doing in our life, just like they shared what was happening. It's important for us to share what's happening with those who already believe, because it strengthens community. Doesn't it strengthen us when we see each other? And, you know, we know that we're not locked up in our houses, but
right
here we are together. It's so, so cool. It's like, oh, okay, you know, wow. And the men along the road, they shared and they compared their experiences with Simon Peter and the others, and they began to realize that those different encounters with the risen Christ weren't all disconnected. They weren't all, you know, independent of each other, but they were like one message that Jesus was trying to share. They were all part of the same story, uniting them in the power of the resurrection. And that is true for us as well. We are all part of a glorious story of the resurrection of Jesus. And when we share our experiences of what God's doing in our lives, when we sing together, when we worship together, when we pray together, in the words of Craddock, he says, it confirms, it strengthens, it encourages, and it deepens faith.
And so the two guys from Emmaus returned to Jerusalem. They just walked 7 miles. Who's walked 7 miles recently? That's a pretty good hike, isn't it? Pretty good hike, yeah. So they just walked the 7 miles, and then they turn around at once, basically, and they return to where they'd just been. See, that's because Jerusalem is mission central for these followers of Jesus. Mission central. Over time, they'll end up scattering to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But they returned to Jerusalem to report their activity. Later in the book of Acts, we find Simon Peter out preaching. He returns to Jerusalem after preaching in other places. Paul returns to Jerusalem basically after each trip, wherever he's going, sharing his, Jesus Christ all over the place. Yep. These men from Emmaus return to Jerusalem to report their sighting of the undercover boss. They didn't call him the undercover boss, but that's what he was. Jerusalem represents home base for all things mission and ministry for these guys.
And that's true for us. 4744 Summit Bridge Road is home base. We know that the church is not a building. We know that. We've really learned that in the last year. The church is people. And we've been reminded over and over and over in this very challenging COVID year what the church really is all about. But even when the building was basically shut down, when we were all sheltered in place, except for the praise team and tech team who came in Thursday nights. You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, they're an incredible bunch. But even when the building was basically shut down, the church was not. I'm going to say that again. Even when the building was basically shut down, the church was not shut down. The church has never been shut down. That's because the church is the people. The church is you. The church is you. And it is not about, it is so important to come together and to worship and get encouraged and strengthened. This is the epicenter of mission and ministry. But it's not about doing it here. It's about going out into a world that desperately needs a Savior. This is where we get our fuel for the week, our food for thought. And, we are so grateful that we've been able to worship online. We're so grateful for Zoom. But we have missed being together. We have missed it. It's not been quite the same. But this big, beautiful blue building on Route 71 is our epicenter. Oh, my goodness. God has really done an awesome thing by bringing us together, whether it's here or online, so that we can get the fuel that we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ out in a world that desperately needs a Savior.
So once again, we have a great story today, that Emmaus story, great story. But then we have the question, so what? You know, this needs to be more than just a Bible lesson on Sunday morning. This has to be more than just information. It should be transformation. It's a great reminder. Here's why it's the so what. It's a great reminder that Jesus wasn't the other undercover boss just there on the road to Emmaus. Sometimes he's the undercover boss here today. Not trying to intentionally fool us, like on the show Undercover Boss. But here's the thing, Jesus never tries to force himself on us. Jesus reveals himself to us in a variety of ways. Here on Sunday morning, home here, through songs, through messages, through the breaking of the bread, drinking of juice when we have Holy Communion. He reveals himself through Scripture, like Carrie mentioned, our disciple Bible study or whatever Bible studies you're involved in. He reveals himself through brothers and sisters in Christ, like in your small groups, in our small groups. He reveals himself out in nature, like in the sunrise, when we had that sunrise service on Easter morning. It did finally come up. It wasn't at 6:45, but it did come up. He reveals himself like on this gorgeous day we have before us today. Jesus reveals himself in so many ways, through smiles, even through tears. In fact, sometimes more often through tears than smiles. The question is, are you open to the challenge of recognizing Jesus when he's in your presence, to realize the revelation when it happens?
It's also important to remember this, to look back and recognize, to realize and understand how Jesus has revealed himself to us in the past, how Jesus can put all the puzzle pieces together. You know, sometimes there's one or two missing and we're like, what's that about? But we just need to trust. He is putting the puzzle pieces together. We may not always get the answers. That's okay. We know that he is with us every step of the way. Can you, like the guys on the road to Emmaus, can you look back and realize that your heart was strangely warmed when he was in your midst, burning within you when you've encountered Jesus along the way?
And so again, Jesus does not force himself on us. Instead, Jesus reveals himself to us. Are you open to how he's going to reveal himself to you in your life? Are you open to how Jesus will share that good news with you and how he wants you to share that good news with others? Yeah. That's the question today. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Pray.
Almighty God, thank you so much for this story about the guys on the road to Emmaus. And isn't that our story, where we might be walking along or working or driving or doing our just regular everything, and our eyes are opened and we realize that you're walking with us and perhaps even carrying us when we can't, when we feel like we can't take another breath or walk another step. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that you pour into us. A grace that's amazing. A grace that you lavishly pour upon us. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Lord, you loved us beyond measure. Help each one of us believe that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And when the days are so very tough, that you're carrying us. We thank you, Lord, for amazing grace. I pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life he offers.